This is Eco Radio KC, a locally produced exploration of positive solutions to the ecological challenges we face as we work to create a healthier future for our community and the planet.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Eco Radio. On tonight's program, we have in studio Corrine Page and Emily Worm with After the Harvest, a 501c3 that focuses on feeding the hungry through organizing volunteers to glean fruits and vegetables from farms and gardens across the metro and surrounding areas. But first, I'm Naturally with your headline news. EcoWatch.com reports, today, a symposium of Muslim leaders and representatives from 20 countries released an Islamic Declaration on Climate Change, the first such document of its kind. Among its supporters are the Grand Muftis of Lebanon and Uganda, along with the prominent Islamic scholars and teachers from across the Muslim world. The declaration is a powerful call to work towards phasing out greenhouse gas emissions, quote, no later than the middle of the century, end quote, and asks all countries to commit to a 100% renewable energy strategy. This powerful and historic call to action underscores humanity's urgent moral obligation to address the climate crisis, protect future generations, and preserve our planet. This landmark declaration adds more voices of faith to the chorus of leaders from all backgrounds, including the Pope, the Dalai Lama, and many others, who have emphasized the need to act on a crisis that knows no borders and excludes no one on Earth. ScienceMag.org reports, since May, 30 large whales have died in the western Gulf of Alaska. Yesterday, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration called the deaths an unusual mortality event and launched an investigation to figure out what is causing the whales' demise. The Washington Post reports, so far, 11 fin whales, 14 humpback whales, one gray whale, and four unidentified species have perished in the area, bringing the large whale strandings for the region to almost three times the historical average, NOAA says. The causes of death are as yet unknown, although a leading hypothesis is harmful algae bloom toxins. Scientists report there has been no evidence so far of radiation exposure from the 2011 Fukushima nuclear disaster. NewYorkTimes.com reports, the Obama administration is expected to propose as soon as Tuesday the first ever federal regulation to cut emissions of methane, a powerful greenhouse gas that contributes to global warming, by the nation's oil and gas industry. Officials familiar with the plan said on Monday. The proposed rule would call for the reduction of methane emissions by 40 to 45% over the next decade from 2012 levels, the officials said. The proposal was widely expected after the Environmental Protection Agency said in January that it was working on such a plan. The new rules are part of President Obama's broad push for regulations meant to cut emissions of planet-warming gases from different sectors of the economy. This month, President Obama unveiled the centerpiece of that plan, a regulation meant to cut emissions of carbon dioxide by 32% from 2005 levels by 2030, a move that could transform the way the nation produces and consumes electrical power. The new rules on methane could create a tougher regulatory scheme on the nation's fossil fuel production, particularly on the way that companies extract, move, and store natural gas. Environmental advocates have long urged the Obama administration to crack down on methane emissions. Most of the greenhouse gas pollution in the United States comes from the carbon dioxide, which is produced by burning coal, oil, and natural gas. Methane, which leaks from oil and gas wells, accounts for just 9% of the nation's greenhouse gas pollution, but it is over 20 times more potent than carbon dioxide, so even small amounts of it can have a big impact on global warming. And that's all for the news this evening. I am Naturally, and I have in studio Corrine Page and Molly Worm. I'd just like to welcome you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It's great to be here.
Thanks for being here. So tell me a little bit about After the Harvest, Corrine.
After the Harvest is a nonprofit volunteer hunger relief organization. We go out to fields and orchards with our volunteers, and we pick what's left after the harvest or during the harvest, what's excess. And then the volunteers take it to local food pantries that are located between the farm or orchard and where they live.
And so at After the Harvest, what is your role that you play?
I am the program director, and basically I coordinate what farms we go to, and with another person in our office, Sandy, who finds the volunteers and will just schedule them on days. Then I call them and see what they're willing to do.
And now, how long have you been involved with this?
Well, we started this brand new organization May of 2014, but we were under another organization that was nationwide, Society of St. Andrew. If people have heard of them, we called ourselves SOSA West because we were the Western headquarters, but there's no longer a Western headquarters here because it was just Lisa and me. Mm-hmm. So we split off so that we could be local because our, we were supposed to cover every state west of the Mississippi.
Wow.
And that was just killing me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So gleaning, what does that term mean?
Well, it's an old word. You can find it in the Bible. It means to go and pick what's left after the harvest. And in the Bible, in Ruth and Leviticus, the farmers were told to leave the corners of their fields and not to second pick. So once they picked the main harvest, to leave what was left that was going to ripen later. And that was kind of their social system. It was for the widows, orphans, and strangers, which we would call immigrants, mm-hmm. so that they would have some food and know that they could at least pick the corners and not be arrested for, you know, stealing.
Right. So how do you have an estimate on the pounds of food that you have been able to glean so far?
Uh-oh.
By this year, like in this season.
I can tell you last year better than this season.
Okay, what about last year? What did you get?
It was a little bit over 1.5 million pounds.
Wow.
And
that's incredible.
I'm going to say what I tell our board. It's like, although I can't get them the numbers, I usually say something like, well, do you want me to get the food or do you want me to count the pounds? You know, it's like, yeah. I can't do it both. But I actually should know what the numbers are, but I don't.
Last year's numbers.
I do.
1.5 million pounds.
Yeah. Now, some of that is not just from gleaning, but from what we call large loads. And those are like semi-truck loads. Mm-hmm. So we have this really generous farmer in Wisconsin who gives us a semi-truck load or more mm-hmm. every week, starting in July and going through January or whenever the potatoes run out. So right now we're getting harvesters at least one load every week. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do couple of what we call potato drops, mm-hmm. which are really fun. It's held at a church. A semi-truck comes and we unload the pallets of potatoes. They're already sacked, but then we have to put the sacks in people's cars, and there's some logistics of figuring out where it's all going and lining up all the pantries and all of that. But it's mm-hmm. really fun. It's a fun project for a church to do, and that's how we get a whole lot of potatoes and a whole lot of pounds, because mm-hmm. it's 42,000 pounds per week.
That's a lot of potatoes.
Yeah, but everybody likes potatoes.
Yes. Yeah. Now, Molly, what do you do with after the harvest?
Emily.
I'm sorry. I keep trying to
That's
call you
okay.
Molly. Emily. Emily Worm.
Yep. I'm a field supervisor, so I'm the person the volunteers will meet in the field, and I explain what we're going to be gleaning that day and then help them figure out where to take the food at the end of it.
So how many groups have you taken out this season?
Oh, gosh. Well, I've only been working with After the Harvest for maybe a month and a half now, mm-hmm. And maybe three groups a week, so however many that is, mm-hmm. 18 groups. So
that's a lot.
Yeah.
So what kind of fruits or vegetables have you gleaned so far this season?
Well, my very first gleaning was kale, and that was just so fun.
Why?
I had never gleaned before,
uh-huh.
and I'm from Wisconsin, so I've been in fields, but not since I've been in Kansas City. So it was really great to be outside mm-hmm. again. So that was kale, and that's what got me hooked on gleaning. Let's see. Right now we're doing a lot of apples. We've done potatoes, onions, peaches, green beans, tomatoes, blackberries.
Wow.
And that's just in the last month and a half. There were a lot before I came on board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How did you find out about After the Harvest?
I can't really remember. I was job searching, and so I was getting bored sitting at home just sending out resumes. And so I was online somewhere and came across that they needed volunteers, and I signed up.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's neat. So I can smell these apples that are just sitting next to me on the table.
You should try one.
Very beautiful.
I brought this so that you could see what it is that we're gleaning.
Mm-hmm.
But you should try one right now, although they're kind of hot because they were in the car all day. But go ahead, try one. Okay. They're crispy and juicy. They're better than anything in a store. Yeah, go ahead. Let's hear it.
It's just delicious. Wow.
I like to tell people that it's better than anything they're going to get in the store for a couple reasons. It hasn't traveled like 2,000 miles,
mm-hmm.
and it hasn't been sitting around in some room being gassed by ethylene, so it ripens, and it's actually alive. You know, I mean, if you pick it right when it's off the vine, like a tomato or mm-hmm. a strawberry or a peach off the tree, it tastes really different.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
There are so many reasons why After the Harvest is just such a viable organization in our community. I don't even know where to start.
Thank you.
I don't even know where to start. I really am just glad that you guys do what you do. How do people sign up to volunteer?
Oh, we try to make it really easy. You can go to our website, which is aftertheharvestkc.org. You have to put the KC in there. Or you can go to Sign Up Genius. And I admit I don't really know everything about Sign Up Genius.
The link is on our website.
Okay, good. Or you can call us. Like if you're, you just don't know how to do any of that, that's mm-hmm. fine. You can call 816-921-1903. And I'm also going to give you my cell phone number, which is 816-853-4460. And that's because sometimes we have these emergency gleanings and I really need people to just contact me the easiest way it is for me, because I won't be like looking at a sign-up sheet to see who signed up now in the last 10 minutes or anything. But so just call me and then I can give them all the information that they need. And I'm going to segue right into Thursday. This Thursday, I would like to find some gleaners to go get apples at a really beautiful orchard in Bonner Springs. It's like the most beautiful place. It has lakes, ducks, deer sometimes. It's just really a beautiful place. People get married there because it's so pretty. But the apples there are really good. And that the apple that you just took a bite out of mm-hmm. came from that orchard.
Mm-hmm.
But this Friday is a special event called Project Homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to take that group, well, the homeless people mm-hmm. that are going to be there, at least 500 apples. And I'd really like to take 1,000 because then we'd get like two apiece. So I'm looking for about 20 volunteers. I mean, we'll get the food really quickly if we have 20. And then we'll have more leftover for other pantries too.
Now, what time is the Friday gleaning?
It's at a very decent hour in the morning. It's at 9 a.m. instead of 7:30, because now it's, not 90 degrees at 10 o'clock, so mm-hmm. we can start later.
Now, how far into the year do these gleanings take place? Because it's August, almost September.
Well, as long as the crops are still growing, and this year has been very strange weather-wise for mm-hmm. the crops. I can't even begin to tell you, but I will say this. If you pay attention to the weather,
mm-hmm.
If you have a freeze, then we'll still be able to get things like turnips and kale and parsnips and things that like to be frozen.
Kale's a pretty hardy plant. Yeah.
It is. It can go down to 18 for a couple nights in a row as long as it's warm during the day. And mustard is the same thing.
Mustard turnips, greens?
Mm-hmm. So my experience only goes for 3 seasons. This will be my 4th. So I would say every year I've been doing this, we've been gleaning up until December 1st.
Wow.
And we're getting things like the mustard and the turnips right at the very end, and kale.
Where are those?
They're all around here.
All around here?
They're hidden.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can't tell you exactly. We don't ever put where the farms are on the website. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that no one's just going there on their own. But they're all around the metro area, and some mm-hmm. are really close in. Bonner Springs, by the way, is like 20 minutes from downtown Kansas City, if that. It's mm-hmm. really close. And then we have other farms that are in Kansas City, Kansas, and those, those are really close too.
I know you you go up north too as well.
St. Joe. Yeah. There's a fantastic farmer. And by the way, he's looking for paid help. He wants to find some people that he can pay to help him. So I'll just put that out. He has given us 2,000 tomato plants. I mean, wow. We helped him plant them, and now we're harvesting them. We're going to get 3 rows, really long rows, of blackberries tomorrow. Mm. But we've been up there many, many weeks getting, you know, blackberries, and we've gleaned other things. Well, isn't that where you're doing beets the other day, Emily?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he's very generous, and so that's our main farmer up in St. Joe. But there, you know, we have farms in Independence and Edgerton, Gardner, Stillwell, Kansas, Lawrence, Kansas, down in Osceola. Those are kind of far. This Saturday, we're also going to be up in Conception Junction, which is a really long drive, an hour and a 45-minute drive from here, but getting Asian pears. Mm. The whole grove has been donated.
That's incredible.
And Topeka chestnuts. The whole grove of chestnuts.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, well, it's almost, you know, wintertime. Need to start roasting those chestnuts. All right. So what is your vision for after the harvest? Do you see yourself pairing with other organizations besides food pantries? Like,
yeah, well, I mean, when I say food pantries, that's just kind of my general term. But we take food to daycares, to schools, to senior centers, to transitional living, housing, multi-service centers, pretty much anybody that is helping people in need.
Mm-hmm.
We will help them. And I guess I should say how they can get on
Absolutely.
That list.
Please.
Yeah. They can go to our website and sign up, or they could send me an email, karin at afterTheHarvestKC.org, and we'll get them on, or they can call,
mm-hmm.
and we'll get them on our list. And
how much does that food cost?
Doesn't cost anything.
Oh, fresh food for free?
Yeah, this is the gleaned food. So if we're, let's say your pantry's in Independence or your school or transitional living center, and we're out in Independence getting apples or pears or whatever, then what I do is I put out an email. So if they have an email address, that's the best. Put out an email that says, hey, we're going to be gleaning this, and can you use any of it? Because sometimes I can and sometimes I can't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't want to send the volunteers there for, you know, out of the way for nothing. But we try and find a place that's in between the farm and where the volunteer lives. And then, you know, we show them the list and they say, oh, that one's close to my house. And so it's kind of like a lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing we want, is more food pantries to get volunteers to come out and glean for their own food pantry or multi-service center. So
yes.
You can get food for the place that you're serving on.
Right, you
people.
Can guarantee you'll get some food if you send a driver, but if we don't have someone that's located close to where that pantry is,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not going to send them the opposite direction just because we're trying to stay as green as we can.
Right.
Yeah, this is Mike jumping in here. I think we're ready to take our first break.
Sounds great.
And when we come back, is it time to open up the phone lines, you think?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And so the number to call is 816-931-5534. If you want to ask some questions, make some suggestions, or just join in on the conversation, 816-931-5534. We'll be back after this.
Women's suffrage turns 95 on August 26th, and Women's Equality Week is presenting a full week of programs to honor women past, present, and future. Events include a global focus on women's equality, as well as attaining true and lasting equality for all women here at home. KKFI is presenting even more women-centered programming. August 23rd through August 29th, there's even a family picnic planned. For more details, go to facebook.com/womensequalitygkc. On Twitter at WEGKC.
This message, a public service of 90.1 FM KKFI.
Have you ever heard of the February Sisters? They were a feisty band of activists who took over a hall at KU in 1972. Though they were prepared to stay for 2 weeks, 13 hours later they walked out with most of their demands already agreed to. Hear this fascinating story on Radioactive Magazine, Tuesday at 6 p.m.
Signs of recovery in America's largest estuary on this current cast.
In the Chesapeake Bay, there are large beds of underwater grasses called the Susquehanna Flats. Sensitive to water quality, these grasses act as a barometer for the health of the bay. In the late 60s, watershed pollution started the grasses on a 30-year decline. Then in the late 90s, a drought temporarily dried up rivers and prevented new pollutants from clouding up the bay.
The plants started to see more light, and they started to grow more extensively.
That's Michael Kemp of the University of Maryland. He says momentum picked up as the grass itself helped purify the water and pollution management improved. It's a reassuring sign that with cleanup efforts, polluted estuaries can recover. Support for CurrentCast comes from the Mitsubishi Corporation Foundation for the Americas. Learn more online at currentcast.org.
And we're back with Eco Radio. I'm Natural Lee. I have with us in studio Corrine Page and Emily Worm from After the Harvest. And we're talking about what After the Harvest is, what they do, and so that's where we're at. Now, Corrine, tell me, what kind of apple is this that I'm eating?
That's a wine sap, but it's different than the ones that you're going to find in the store.
How so?
Oh, well, I can't stand the ones in the store, for one. They're the ones in the store are darker red, and this is has kind of a much lighter color, but they're just really delicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's not lying.
They're better than a Honeycrisp, I heard, from a gleaner that was out there Saturday. And people are really picky about the apples they like. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, well, wait a minute. You just got to come and try this apple first.
Absolutely. Now, who is getting these apples that you're picking?
Well, Emily can answer some of that.
Okay.
You mean food pantries? There's food pantries all around the metro area that we take food to. So do you want names of some?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, when we think of food pantries, we think of cans, we think of...
Yeah, and that's one of the things we're trying to help change, is we want people to have fresh, healthy food and not just canned, you know, stale bread.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's, you know, really any food pantries in churches, nonprofit organizations, community centers, daycares.
And you don't have to have refrigeration. I mean,
yeah.
I really want the food to go out as soon as we bring it to them. Mm-hmm. And we'll ask, how many people are you feeding today? Because this food just tastes so different when it's fresh. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we could go out every day. And that's the thing, the word I want to get out is, there is so much food going to waste. The limiting factor to feeding people is not the food, it's finding the volunteers to go get it, at least for our organization.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these apple trees, there are thousands and thousands of apples already on the ground, mm-hmm. and they just rot if you don't pick them up,
mm-hmm.
and we can't keep up with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's August, kids are going back to school, and I know a lot of schools require service hours for their eighth graders and for their seniors, seventh graders even sometimes. Have you seen schools bring any of their students to volunteer with you guys?
This summer, well, school just started, I think, last week. But this summer we had lots of school kids, and also college kids need service hours, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we give them service hours because it is a great service that they're doing. This year, it's too early in the season to see schools, but we will see schools usually near the end of September. They've got to kind of get the kids going first, you know.
Yeah.
Now, if there was a teacher listening, where would they go to find out how to sign up?
They can call 816-853-4460. They can call the office at 816-921-1903. They can go to our website, aftertheharvestkc.org, and just click on the volunteer link, and you'll see all these days that we need help. We posted like Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, but we'll take people other days, too.
Mm-hmm.
We just leave those open for, like, what I call emergency gleanings. So we just went ahead and posted apples Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. But if you want to sign up on a different day, you can. And we'll either take you to get apples, because there are always apples, or we'll take you to a farmer that called us and said, hey, we need you to come get blackberries or greens or whatever.
Now, I just had a question for you. Okay, well, I just do want to let our listeners know on our Eco Radio Facebook page, if you go and visit us, we set a link to After the Harvest. So you can find them on Facebook, give them a like, give us a like, everybody gets liked.
Yay, yeah.
So So you said there's always apples because one tree produces like thousands of apples.
It looks like it.
Yeah.
And so there are pictures out there. I took pictures so you can see, you know, what it really looks like. It's hard to believe that there are that many apples coming from a tree.
I wanted to ask, now obviously I feel like the lives of the people who use these pantries where the food is delivered to, I mean, Emily, have you gone to the pantries yourself?
I have, and they're always so grateful to get fresh, whatever it is, corn, apples, because that's hard to get, and it's expensive to buy, you know, that fresh, healthy produce.
Right. Seems backwards, but...
I know.
And a lot of the food pantries, they don't have any budget for buying food.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is going to be the last thing they're going to spend their money on because, it, you know, their dollars don't go very far.
So they rely on donations of food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And after the harvest is able to supply something that they don't normally get, that fresh produce.
And it's free.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's great. And this is good food. It's not some crazy...
It's better than what they can get, like, from... stores will donate food, but mm-hmm. they kind of wait until they think they can't sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, you know, starting to get wrinkly and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, when we deliver to some of the pantries, they recognize us because we take a lot of food to some pantries because they're right, like, on a main drag, and they serve a lot of people. So, and if they're open on a Saturday, all of that kind of determines how much food they can get from us, just mm-hmm. because if they're open more hours, they're going to end up getting more food, and if they can distribute the food really quickly to a lot of people, then we can take them a lot of food. So this one in particular, they said, they know if we say, you know, oh, we have, you know, apples from this gleaning, and we walk in, they'll say, oh, it's the gleaners. And
oh, that's cool.
They just like jump on the food because it's just really different than the food that they're getting from other sources sometimes.
Mm-hmm. If you would like to call in and join this conversation, you can dial 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-5534. Karine or Emily, could either of you speak to someone's perspective widening or life changing beyond those who receive the food from the pantry? Anyone who's had a part in this that maybe experienced gleaning for the first time, or a kid who volunteered and had never even pulled a beet out of the dirt or something. Can you speak to one of those?
Yeah, sure. I mean, kids love to do this, and they're always just willing to learn about how the plants grow and why the onions are under the ground instead of on top.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just nice to be out in the country, especially for kids and families that live, you know, in the metro area. They don't have a chance all the time to be out and see birds flying around and deer walking through the field. So that's always really great.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to steal just Corinne's story about how there's so many kids who say that, you know, they don't like apples or tomatoes, and they're really hesitant to try. You know, we were out gleaning tomatoes, and these beautiful tomatoes. I just kept saying, look at these gorgeous tomatoes. And this girl, I think she was maybe 10, said she didn't like tomatoes. She didn't want to try one. And we convinced her to try. We had a few different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see she was just really scared to take her first bite. And she took her bite, and she said, oh, this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then she tried each of the different colors, and it was just really great.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I've had adults who were in their 30s who said they didn't like apples.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, where did you get that apple that you decided you didn't like?
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked him into eating an apple. And he said, oh, can you take a picture of me so my wife can see that I'm eating an apple?
That's wonderful. It's just this whole process of gleaning, and it's just great for the people at the food pantries, but it's also good for people. I mean, even people who go to the food pantries to get food. We might have some of those listeners who use food pantries. I mean, they can volunteer too and go out and see this food. It seems like this is just a great opportunity to get out and see how food is made by the earth, like,
yes,
in our part in this. You know what I mean?
And you brought something up that I wanted to say. I forgot when you said who gets the food. We've had gleaners out there that have used food pantries.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a situation where, you know, you're struggling to make ends meet, well, you know, we'll let you take some of this food home because you're going to go to a pantry anyway if you're
right,
struggling to make the, and this this just cuts out that one step. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, if you do have transportation, we don't have transportation, but if you can figure that out, you could come with a church group, you know, maybe, you know, organize something with your church. We'll take the food. You know, you don't have to really have a pantry, although I call it the pantry list. You don't really have to have a formal pantry. We don't ask any kind of questions like how many hours are you open or we're not going to serve you. We do ask your hours of operation just so that we know when to take the food there. Right. But we don't have any restrictions on any of that.
Now, I know that you do training for field supervising.
Oh, yes.
I know this because I was a part of it, and I deeply regret not being able to be a part of after the harvest, you know, more than interviewing Karine and Emily, because like I said, just what you do is just so important, and I'm just moved by the whole process of it. But is there going to be another training if people want to get more involved with?
Well, absolutely. This is kind of near the end of the season, but we always need people to glean and people to field supervise, because that way we could be more than two places right now. Because basically it's Emily and me. We do have volunteers, but you know, I just ask that they give maybe one day a month, mm-hmm. and it's only a four-hour period. But this year has been really tough as far as where we can be because of all the crop failures because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
But you could, if you wanted, sign up to be a field supervisor and help us, and we would be there. We're having some large ones coming up, and so we don't let the field supervisors be by themselves with more than 20 people. So we like to have two or three or four field supervisors at a large gleaning. We're going to have some large ones coming up. So if you think you would like to do this, give us a call or go to our website and you can sign up and we'll contact you.
Yeah, and it's just really fun. So if you're at all interested, just sign up for gleaning and then you might get hooked like I did and come back every week. So
what was the experience that got you hooked on gleaning?
Well, as I mentioned, it was kale. Mm-hmm. And it was a farm up in Platte City, so kind of a ways mm-hmm. from KC. And it was just myself, another volunteer, and a field supervisor. And it was a beautiful morning. It wasn't too hot. And the three of us got, I think it was like 80 pounds of kale.
Between three people?
Yeah, wow. In like 2 hours.
Wow.
We ran out of sacks to put all the kale in, which is why we had to stop. But it was just so cool. And it was something that made so much sense, I guess, to mm-hmm. get this food that the farmer couldn't sell, that the farmer was just going to turn under and give it to people who are hungry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes so much sense. It's like, there's food, there's hungry people. Let's put them together.
Yeah. It's like, of course, why haven't we been doing this?
Forever.
Yeah.
why are there hungry people?
Yeah.
And the farmers are so happy that we're there because they work hard to grow this food and they don't want it to go to waste. And most of our farmers are organic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really, really good food. It's you know, not poisoning you. It's very fresh. It's really full of vitamins because it's so fresh. And it's just produce. I mean, that's like really important food for us to be eating. We should be eating more produce than anything else, actually.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really all we should be eating. What are we eating that's not that?
That's not produce?
I mean, we don't need to talk about that. But yeah, eat some vegetables and fruits.
This is Mike. I just want to remind our listeners they can call in at 816-931-5534 and become a part of the conversation. I wanted to mention from environmental advantages. So one of the big advantages is that it's primarily, other than that very generous farmer in Wisconsin, it's primarily local food. So it doesn't have to travel. You know, we heard many times before that the average morsel of food travels 1,200 miles or something to get to your plate. And, of course, that's burning of fossil fuels and all of that. But something I've heard recently, and I thought of you folks, is that if food just rots in the fields, I mean, that creates, you know, methane. And that is another, carbon emitter that also goes into our atmosphere. I don't know how much that contributes, but the more food you get into people instead of rotting on the ground, and it's another great way of helping not only protecting people from hunger, but protecting the planet from a bigger footprint, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, right.
So 816-931-5534 is the number if you want to call in. And I'm just really impressed with what you folks do. And I'm just curious, another question, and I'll naturally take it over back again. Rest the mic from me. How do you chart like progress? How do you compare like how well you're doing this year compared to last year to compared to the year before in terms of, is there less food being wasted? Or is there more food being, you know, used, that kind of?
Well, we're like a drop in the bucket.
Really?
On what we're saving. There are statistics out there that it's the equivalent of one football stadium per day of food that's being...
Like if it was filled up with food?
Yes. And so you think about what we're doing. And so 1 week, it could be one semi-truck load plus some stuff. But think of how big that stadium is. And that's every day. Every day, every day, every day, all that food. That's the amount being wasted. It's in the billions, you know. I mean, it's crazy. We're saving 1.5 million. Our goal this year was, well, I think I heard it was 3 million. But we're not gonna make it there just because of our local harvest was down. And then the harvest in California was way down. And so... some of our farmers that have been able to provide us a lot of food actually were selling their food because it was needed by stores. So what we did this year, you know, if we track what we did compared to last year, it's probably going to be about the same amount that we saved. But we always, I keep track of the pantries. Just in about a 1 year's time, we grew from about 110 pantries to 250 pantries. So, and again, I'm using that word as, you know, it's all encompassing, not just pantries. Mm-hmm. Our Facebook page has over 1,000 likes. We went from 0 to 1,000. I don't know what it is now. I haven't tracked it lately. We have 1,900 volunteers on our email.
Excellent.
List, and you know, that's way up. We started at zero, you know, started at zero May of 2014, and so we're, you know, we're growing, and we always try to get more farmers, and we do, and we just got on the Packer, which is a website for people in the food industry, and it includes truckers and shippers and brokers and, you know, it's where all the people who have a lot of food go to. And so we're on the website now.
Nice.
And it says, you know, if you have a rejected load, call us. And a load can be rejected. Here's some of the reasons why some of the food is rejected. In large numbers, if the truck comes in to the store or wherever it's taking the food and the temperature is 1 degree off one way or the other, they'll throw the load out.
1 degree?
1 degree. It goes to the dump to create more methane. So we're like, we'll take it, we'll take it. and if it's a mixed load and let's say there's, I don't know, the corn's on ice and the ice sloshes onto the green peppers, then they want to throw it all out too. So we're like, nope, nope, we'll take it, we'll take it. So that's, you know, but we're still just a drop in the bucket. But I think if as people become more aware of what we're doing, they'll get on board with us, and you know, you can salvage the food in your neighbor's backyard. If they have a peach tree, a pear tree, an apple tree, they're going to have way more food than they could ever know what to do with. And you can say, hey, I'll help you, you know, keep your ground clean. Hey, kids, the food falls to the ground when it's ripe, okay? Mm-hmm. It's perfect. It's ripe when it falls. It's still green when it's on the tree for the most part. So let it fall, let it come to you, and then you pick it up, and you eat what you can, like 10 peaches a day maybe.
Yeah.
And then the rest,
sounds great.
You take to a food pantry. There are lots of them, and if you don't know where they are, you can, again, call us, contact us. We'll tell you where one is right in your neighborhood.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, because this morning I was with one other volunteer and we got, it was almost 50 pounds of plums from one plum tree.
Wow.
In Overland Park. A woman, she came gleaning with us and said, hey, I have this plum tree and I can never eat all the plums. And
here's so 50 pounds of plums.
The two of us went down there and they were delicious plums.
And that's just from one gleaning. We were there last week too.
Yeah.
Because they don't all ripen at the same time, so we just... we'll keep going until there's nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think maybe we should take our second break now. Is this a good time?
Sounds great, Mike.
But before I go, I want to throw that number out one more time, 816-931-5534. We'll be back after this.
So when we throw stuff away, where exactly is away? Sprouts asks the experts, Thursday at noon. As a parent, you can't help but look at your child and dream about what the future holds. But while you're dreaming, consider this. The odds that your child will be diagnosed with autism are 1 in 68. Knowing the signs of autism and addressing it early can make a world of difference. To learn the signs, visit autismspeaks.org. This message, a public service of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. With bigger houses and longer commutes, suburban communities must consider their impact on climate change.
And that's because the more affluent you are, the more resources you have, the more likely your lifestyle is highly connected to greenhouse gas emissions.
That's Christine Granger of Cool Davis, a community effort to reduce emissions and adapt to climate change in Davis, a suburb of Sacramento, California. To engage residents in the effort, Cool Davis hosts an annual festival with information about everything from solar panels to waste and water conservation. There's even the opportunity to test drive electric vehicles.
We're working on that personal responsibility thing pretty heavily because it's those choices that are driving a large portion of our emissions.
Next, the organization intends to help residents turn awareness into action by providing them with step-by-step plans to increase the energy efficiency of their homes and improve their transportation habits. And with events like Meatless Monday, Cool Davis tries to inform people about the climate consequences of the food and products they buy. If the community works together, these changes in everyday behavior will help Davis become carbon neutral by the year 2050. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
And we're back in studio. Thanks for tuning in. If you're just joining us on Eco Radio, I'm here with Corrine Page and Emily Worm from After the Harvest. And what do you do real quick?
We save perfectly good fruits and vegetables from farmers' fields and orchards that would go to waste. And we take this really perfect, beautiful food to food pantries and other agencies that help people in need.
And it's at no cost to them. And you organize volunteers to go and get this food, right?
Yes.
From the fields. And if anyone wants to volunteer with your organization, like Emily has, they would go to aftertheharvestkc.org, or they can call
816-921-1903 or my cell, 816-853-4460.
You can sign yourself up. You can sign up a group. If you're a teacher and you want to take your eighth grade class, you can do that. And so do you have any events coming up?
Always. You can go to our website, aftertheharvestkc.org, and see all the events that we've posted. So Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, we're gleaning in the metro area.
Mm-hmm.
On the next four Saturdays, we're going to be gleaning in Conception Junction Asian pears, it's the only farm that we have that has Asian pears. Mm-hmm. And he's donating the whole grove.
Wow.
So it's like 20,000 pounds every year that he donates, and it goes to local pantries up there. It's by Maryville, and also goes to St. Joe, and also goes to Harvesters. So that would be a good one to sign up for, because we always need volunteers up there. And it's a beautiful drive, and you can take a picnic lunch and help get those beautiful Asian pears. And again, it's another organic farm. It seems like most of the farmers we work with are organic. Mm-hmm. So that's good. And what else are we doing? If you don't want to work Tuesdays, Thursdays, or Saturdays, you can call us, 816-921-1903, and just tell us what day you want to work, and we will make it happen. We usually glean in the morning, but as the fall comes, the evening gleanings can be really nice, too. So we'll take schools in the afternoon when some of the schools have free time in the late afternoon. And so before the buses come, we're gleaning with them for an hour, 45 minutes, whatever they can spare. Or we have evening gleanings from 5 to 7. You can bring families and have a really good time.
So I've got the website pulled up here if you want me to read over a couple of these upcoming.
Sure.
So tomorrow is the 25th, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. And so there's the tomato and blackberry gleaning at a farm near St. Joseph, Missouri from 9 a.m. till noon. And on the 27th, which would be Thursday, there's an apple gleaning at an orchard near Bonner Springs, Kansas. The Asian pear gleaning you just mentioned near Maryville is on the 29th. And then on the 31st, tomato gleaning at a farm near St. Joseph. They need two gleaners on call for 1 hour per week on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. You pick the day, time of day to glean as tomatoes ripen, then deliver to area food banks. Also on September 1st, a produce gleaning near Kansas City, a farm within 30 to 45 minutes of Kansas City. And it looks like you got a lot more going well on and on into the future. And I am looking at aftertheharvestkc.org/events.
And it's really not difficult to sign up for one of these events. You just click on the one that works for you, and you'll email, is it Sandy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll show you exactly how to do it. Someone will get back to you immediately. And it's pain-free. It's quick. and
it's really fun.
Oh, and it's fun. And it's
yeah. So you'll get an email with information about where the farm is, and then you'll meet myself or Corrine or one of our other field supervisors, and they'll show you everything. So you don't have to worry if you don't have any experience gardening or farming. We'll show you what to do, and it's pretty hard to mess up, so anybody can do it. Even I mean, we have small kids that are 5 helping us get apples.
And so. I forgot to tell you, this is the best part. If you go to an apple gleaning, actually, any gleaning, you can eat the food while you're there. It's, you know, I want people to keep their strength up. But I also want them to know how good the food is when they deliver it. Because, you know, I mean, it's hard to believe how good it is. And so if you have experience eating it, then you'll, you know, you'll be really good when you deliver it. You'll say, oh, this is really good. You got to get this out today.
And you'll be excited to share it.
Mm-hmm. And you can eat way more than you think you can once you taste how good it is. 10 peaches is not an exaggeration.
I love peaches.
They're really juicy. The good ones are.
The ones that you pick.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, Mike?
Well, I think maybe you guys can give out some more the website and phone number information and give it out slowly. And I'm like, I should be putting this up on our Facebook page, and I haven't been doing it. Have you been doing it?
I have it up on our Facebook
page. All right, you're great. So you can always check the Eco Radio KC Facebook page to find out, or of course the After the Harvest KC Facebook page as well.
And there's lots of information on our website.
And that website is?
AfterTheHarvestKC.org.
Okay, and then give those phone numbers again so folks can...
Sure.
Yeah.
816-921-1903. And my cell, 816-853-4460.
Okay. And was there anything that we've wanted to get out tonight that we haven't yet?
Well, we're having a fundraiser in October, and it's called the Harvest Happy Hour. And it's going to be downtown Kansas City, Missouri at Grace and Holy Trinity. they're a really good partner with us. They can take a lot of food and distribute it, and they also can take what I call cobbler apples, which, and I've been telling you how good the food is. Well, sometimes we have apples that have like a bump on it or a hole in it from a bug bite or something, but that just means it's organic and good.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll take it to a soup kitchen that will cut that little hole out, and then you have 99% of the apple still there.
Mm-hmm.
So Episcopal Community Services is a really good partner with us because they have a soup kitchen, and they also have during the year like culinary training school for people that are at risk. And so that's a really cool thing. They train people and give them a job. And then they also take that food and they prepare it. And they have lots of pantries they serve. So they'll, like, just cut the food up and take out the issues, if there are any issues, and mm-hmm. put them in plastic bags and take them to the, you know, to the pantries. So they're a really good partner. So they also help us with our fundraiser. They help cook the food. Most of our food is donated. So what we raise is, you know, goes right into, back into the business to pay for the large loads and things.
That's incredible. Well, thanks, folks, for being here tonight, and thanks for all the hard work and how you serve our community. That's really, really good. And I'm going to read through a few of environmental programs coming up on KKFI this week, and if you guys think of anything else that needs to be said by the time I'm finished, then maybe we'll have room to do that. So you might remember a few weeks ago we had Robin Martinez on the program. He was the attorney for the Dakota Rural Action, dealing with the Keystone XL pipeline up there. Well, Robin is going to be on the nationally syndicated Law and Disorder, which airs tomorrow at 9 a.m. on KKFI. So we're looking forward to hearing that. Also, Naomi Klein, author of This Changes Everything, speaking on climate justice on alternative radio, transitioning to climate justice. That's alternative radio. That's Wednesday morning at 9. And we also have on Thursday at noon, Follow the Garbage. What happens to the stuff we throw out? On this week's Sprouts, some reporters will interview experts around the nation about find out about what happens to the trash and how it impacts our neighborhoods and our planet. And then on Bioneers on Friday morning at 9:30, women are coming together to heal in community with hands in the soil in one of the most broken places on the planet, the Democratic Republic of Congo. Playwright and feminist Eve Ensler's life and death struggle with cancer transformed her. At the heart of it was her reconnection with nature. And that's a great story we'll hear on Bioneers Friday morning at 9:30. Do you have anything else to add? I think.
Make sure you go to their website, aftertheharvestkc.org, and find out how you can volunteer. And it will not only help change the lives of those who need to utilize the food pantries, but also yours. It'll give you a new perspective on where your food comes from and just all our position in the world, you know? It's a lot of fun.
The life you change may be your own.
Exactly.
And it's great for all ages. Just like you said, we've had even babies out in the field on blankets as we harvested kale and moved them along with us. We've had babies on the backs of their moms picking blackberries with us, you know, baby's picking and the mom's picking at the same time.
That's great. All right, we're going to go out with This Week in Water. Those folks are back, so let's hear from This Week in Water. Thanks. Good night, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Is California headed for permanent drought? A new study says yes. That and other stories for the week ending August 23rd, 2015.
I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
First, the good news for California. It's looking more likely that El Niño will bring needed moisture this winter. Now the bad news. Even if these storms are gushers, it won't necessarily mean more water.
Why? Because according to a new study, global warming is intensifying rates of evaporation. So even when it does rain or snow, Higher temperatures are sucking moisture stored in plants and soil right into the air.
We and ecosystems are sharing our water resources with an increasingly greedy atmosphere.
That's Park Williams. He's a bioclimatologist at Columbia University's Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory and lead author of the study.
So we already know that as you warm air, then that air becomes more able to extract water from soils. And so in a warmer year, if there's also a drought, meaning there is lower than average precipitation, then the warmer air is going to make the drought worse. It basically makes every raindrop or snowflake that fell less valuable.
Williams and his team analyzed data from 1901 to 2014 and found that average temperatures have been creeping up about 2.5 degrees over a 114-year period, in step with rising fossil fuel emissions.
Those warmer temperatures were gradually removing moisture off California's surface, and it will have to rain more to make up the difference.
During an average year now, the state would need an average of 3.5 additional inches of precipitation in order to make up for the difference that warming is causing.
Unfortunately, the data show that rainfall trends aren't increasing, so those inches, they're not coming.
The researchers conclude that within a few decades, evaporation will overpower any increase in rain, and California will be more or less in a state of permanent drought.
What do you do with 300 tons of poop and pee that comes from animal farming? That's the amount of waste that's produced every year from raising pigs, poultry, and cattle here in the U.S.
And controversy over the effects of waste disposal methods is flaring up again due to the EPA's lack of action in issuing regulations for both air and water quality.
In one North Carolina county where there are 2 million pigs and only 60,000 people, the waste from hog farms is liquefied and sprayed onto adjacent crops as fertilizer.
But according to some like Waterkeeper Alliance and a professor at the University of North Carolina at Wilmington, this practice nurtures alga blooms that choke off rivers from oxygen and pollute other waterways.
Hog farms are disproportionately located in areas where people of color live in large numbers. Others note that the practice is causing headaches and asthma in children.
Early on, the Obama administration had promised to issue regulations about water and air quality around industrial food production.
But last month, EPA said in court that it wouldn't change the regulations, and according to Bloomberg, inspections and fines of feedlots dropped to a 7-year low last year.
Much of the focus on the Colorado River in the last couple of weeks has been on a spill of heavy metal-laced mining water into its tributaries.
But last week, a report was published showing that the river faces additional problems.
A study led by the U.S. Geological Survey found that levels of mercury and selenium in the Colorado River regularly exceed risk thresholds for fish and wildlife.
The study reports that the mercury gets into the food chain mostly from the air, much of it coming from outside the U.S. Selenium is probably transported from agricultural runoff.
In other news about water contamination, last week a report came out that shows an industrial chemical that was used to make Teflon persists in drinking water and may be more harmful than thought.
The chemical, which goes by the acronym PFOA, doesn't break down when it gets into the environment.
The study finds that drinking water of over 6.5 million Americans is contaminated with it. Some samples ranged between 5 and 175 times the level considered safe by this new research.
The study, published by the Environmental Working Group, states that people in the Mid-Ohio River Valley may be consuming unsafe amounts of PFOA every time they drink a glass of water.
The authors of the study note that the EPA has not set a maximum level for the chemical in drinking water, but has issued a health advisory that is hundreds or thousands of times too weak to fully protect human health with an adequate margin of safety.
The results show that outside the Mid-Ohio River Valley, New Jersey and California have the most widespread PFOA contamination. And finally this week, the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California wants residents to take shorter showers. Around 5 minutes is the goal.
But how do you know how much time has passed? It's a bit hard to take a timer with you.
Not a problem, said the district. They teamed up with the music streaming service Pandora to turn bathing into saving by creating a water lover's station with water-themed songs just the right length for a quick shower.
You can soap up to Come Away to the Water by Maroon 5 or rinse to Set Fire to the Rain by Adele. Whatever song comes on, the object is to finish before the song ends.
The district hopes people will also use the playlist just to keep water conservation top of mind with oldies like Have You Ever Seen the Rain? Or this one.
Seems it never rains in Southern
California. This Week in Water is a production of H2O Radio and is sponsored by Colorado WaterWise. Learn more at coloradowaterwise.org.
It never rains in California.
Thanks for listening. Eco Radio KC on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.